All right, praise the Lord. Now we're ready. When I was about 8 years old, I memorized this verse from Isaiah, and it always meant a lot to me. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which proceedeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, when you hear the word of God, it's never void. When the word of God is preached, things begin to happen. Dynamics begin to take place. Things begin to move. Because God is in his word. Everything recognizes the word of God. You know, I remember when reading a story in John chapter 2 about how Jesus changed the water into wine. I think when Jesus looked down into those firkins of water, the water looked back into his face. And it happened the way he planned it. That was the second of all of his miracles that he did. Praise the Lord. So, let's look right now together at Matthew. Chapter 8. Father in heaven, we are helpless without thee, and I sure know that right now. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst open our hearts and minds, because great and marvelous things will happen when thy word is taught, when it is preached, when it is believed. O Lord, we need thee so very much in these last days. Everything around us is confusion. The world seems to have gone mad. It seems that the governments of this world are in a complete state of upheaval. And these are the times of the rise of the Antichrist. So now, Lord, give us thy people clear direction. Show us, Lord, how to live for thee. Teach us thy ways. Let us be drawn close to thee, that we might see clearly always what we must do. Now, O Lord, we yield ourselves unto thee and to thy word. Help us, O God, as we study it, and help us to respond to it, and let miracles come forth, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to make a case in point. You know, when the word of God is preached, if I were to preach repentance, you know what happens when I preach repentance? I've seen it. I preached for 40 years. I've been in the wilderness 40 years now. When I preach repentance, people repent. When I preach baptism, people get baptized. When I preach the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. All in God's perfect timing, but again, it has to be the Lord that brings it all forth. But we need to learn. We need to learn the ways of God. And his ways are not our ways. That's why we have to learn. Nothing's automatic. All right, we're going to see what happened now. He had finished that beautiful message, so something has to give. Something has to happen. You can't preach like he did and have nothing happen. Let's see if anything did. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. Now, we all know what a leper is. Lepers had a horrible disease that you don't hear about much anymore. It's a disease where the skin, the different kinds of leprosy actually, but a disease where the skin and the flesh begins to slowly rot away from the body. And there's no reversing it. There's no cure for it. Back in those days, if you had leprosy, you had to go and live in a special leper camp. You had to dress in leper's garments. And if anyone came near you, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. So they wouldn't get close enough to perhaps catch that disease from you. Wouldn't it be horrible to be alienated from your family, your friends, and be in a situation like that? Slowly watching the appendages, your fingers, your toes, begin to rot and just eventually fall off. Very painful disease. Isn't pain a horrible thing?
Yes.
And so, a leper. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now remember, he was in an atmosphere of power. Jesus had just finished preaching. The power was there. Thank God for that virtue and that power of God. You know, in the as we read the New Testament, we read of the word power and virtue. It's the same word. And it comes from the Greek language, the Koine Greek, and that word is dunamos. Dunamos is the word you get the word dynamite from, or dynamo, or dynamic. And so, this was an atmosphere where there was power because the preaching had just finished. The presence of God was there. And can you imagine? Can you imagine looking into the face of our dear Lord Jesus and not feeling faith for anything? In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, you've got to get into the place where these things can happen. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. You never want to touch a leper, you could get leprosy. But the dunamos was there. The dynamo, the power, the virtue. It's like when the woman that had the issue of blood. Oh, she spent years chasing after the doctors and they couldn't do anything for her and they just took her money. Well, they are good at that. There's an old saying that God heals, the doctor just collects the fee. Now, they can help you a little bit sometimes, but it's God that does the healing.
Right.
And the doctor that I'd been going to, Dr. Samadani, looked at me one time. He said, I can't heal anybody. He said, I can help you, but he said, it's God that heals.
Right.
And I appreciated that, because he's right. But you know, that's why they call it the AMA, the American Money Association. Do you ever wonder why they wear masks when they operate? After my surgery, a month ago today, 2 days later, I had to be down in Madison, out on, was out on the corner of Stoughton Road, 51, and then came to Buckeye Road, and there's a big Dean facility there. And the doctor did the surgery, came in, the nurse sprayed some nose spray up my nose. I laid back. He looked up my nose, put a little vacuum thing up there, so forth. Took about 10 minutes from the time he walked in the door till the time he left. $2,000. You can make money at a game like that. The The whole time I was in Madison, I think it came to around $40,000, but the insurance covered basically all of it. The only thing I had to pay for was the ambulance ride. They rushed me down by the Beaver Dam Fire Department ambulance, and that was just under $1,200 I have to pay out of pocket. And those ambulances aren't even comfortable. They bounce you around in there like a yo-yo. It's a truck. They throw you in the back of a truck. All the way to Madison, boom, 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 you know. And I thought the insurance was going to cover it, but it isn't. But I was surprised, you know, that's a lot of money to get down to, you know, 45 miles. Anyway, Lord's got it all under control. But, you know, that woman that had that issue of blood, when Jesus was walking, he saw her, or she saw him rather, and she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. And she was convinced of it in her heart. Faith will do that, you know. Faith is very convincing. You ask God for the gift of faith, and he is going to convince you through faith that his word is true, that it is for you personally, and you can receive it. And so she kept pushing closer to him. The crowd was constantly bumping into him. Can you imagine? They're all thronging him. He could hardly walk a straight line. People were pushing against him right and left and back and forth. And here's this poor woman crawling between all the legs of these people trying to get to Jesus. And finally she got there. And she reached out as far as she could and she grabbed the hem of that garment. And instantly her fountain of blood stopped. And she was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at all the people, they're all bumping into you and touching you. Yeah, there's a lot of people bump into Jesus. But there aren't necessarily a lot of people who touch him. When you touch him by faith, something happens. Jesus said, somebody touched me, I felt virtue go out from me. You see, if you have faith, you can tap into the virtue of Jesus Christ. He'll literally come in with his power and heal you and strengthen you and lift you up. I know it to be true. According to what had happened in the past month, I should have been dead. But there are messages to preach. There's work to be done. And I will tell you, no matter what happens, we stay true to the promises of God. Amen. And you push forward and you never, ever, ever quit. When I look at how great all of this is, and then I see how there are so many people that let things bother them. People worry too much about things. They worry too much about words that were spoken, unkind words, unkind things that were done. And they let those things just take over their lives. Folks, I'm speaking to you from my heart right now. You got to let that go by. If somebody insults you in some way, disagrees with you, whatever, let it go by. Give it to God. Amen. Keep walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, it feels good to be close to God. And so that woman received of his virtue. Now, Jesus, it tells us in verse 3, going back to Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. That was it. It was gone. But that was too simple. That was too easy for something as serious as leprosy. A simple command from God. And all the sleepless nights, all the agonizing pain. And all of a sudden it's gone. You know, I think I spent the entire month of March, April, and here we are near the end of, well, we're at the middle of May, basically, a little past that. Spent all that time, most of the time, in pain. Sometimes severe, all I could do was cry out to God. And I read these verses like this and they come alive to me because I have such empathy for people who go through things like that. I can understand it. I just want to be with people who are going through pain so I can help them. And you know, that's how it is with Jesus. You wonder, where is he? I had such bad pain one time, I cried out. I said, where is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And I read in the Psalms, be not far from me, O Lord, in my distress. And I cried out those same prayers of David in the Psalms, just from memory. And there was an affinity there. And then I realized, he is carrying my grief and bearing my sorrow. He's right there with me. In all of that distress and pain, he's right there. He's not far from me. And that's the kind of God he is. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, he was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. The priest was in for the surprise of his life. I wonder how often he saw somebody walk in like that. This man was a known leper. He doesn't have it anymore. And so he came in according to the law of Moses. There was an offering you brought for that. Generally what happened is you came in with two turtle doves. This is under the old covenant now. The blood of animals, the sacrifices of animals, which we don't have anymore. Amen. Because Jesus took care of all that. But under the old covenant, and by the way, they were still under it until Jesus died. Most of the content of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are old covenant. But it's in transition. Once Jesus died on the cross, you entered into the new covenant. Well, after his resurrection, of course. But under the old covenant law, you'd take, I think it's Leviticus 17, I'd have to go back and check it again, but you can find it if you really want to. If you had leprosy, you could take two doves to the priest. The dove would kill one. and he would sprinkle the blood of the one that he killed on the living dove on the wings. As a living dove would fly upward, the leprosy would move downward and out of the body. Just the way God set things up.
Amen.
We don't have that anymore because we have the Lord Jesus Christ who was lifted up on the cross. And he covers it all. And so he said, go and take it to the priest. Go to the priest and take the sacrifice for a testimony unto them. And of course, the priest wouldn't know what to do. They couldn't really kill the dove. The miracle already took place. A statement was being made to the priests there. Priests, it's all changing now. And what could they say? And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Now he's a centurion, captain in the Roman army. He's got 100 soldiers under him. He came beseeching him. In other words, he was entreating him. He had something he wanted. And he besought him for it. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Grievously tormented. What could be done? And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. You know, it's amazing the willingness that we see in the Lord. And sometimes I think we must be so out of touch with that willingness. But it doesn't change anything. He wants to help us, but he's got to get us to that place where we can receive. All right? I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Lord, if you just speak the word, it's all it's going to take. It'll all be over. But as far as you coming into my house, Lord, I'm just not worthy of it. Notice the response of our Lord. But before we do that, the centurion went on to say this, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. He cometh and to do my servant, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So he's saying, I'm under authority. I have to do what I'm told. I have soldiers under me, and they have to do what they're told. He's saying, Lord, if you speak the word, there'll be healing. Your word is higher than all authority. It surpasses all commandments. Everything, thy word is supreme. That's what he's telling him here. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, how can you have something so profound that you make the Son of God marvel? He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What great, great, great faith. He said, I just haven't found any faith like this. This man absolutely believes that I can speak the word and his servant will be healed. That I have that authority and that power. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be there? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who hold the oracles of God, those who should know better, those that, meaning the Hebrew nation there, were so slow of heart to believe, and yet here, these Gentiles had such faith. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a day that's going to be. As the Germans say, mit heulen und zähne klappen. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of these times, I don't know who I'll preach it to or for, but I've always wanted to preach a sermon in German. I've got a German-English Bible that my wife bought for me, but I've got an old Bible. Used to belong to Dr. Wheezy, and he was a Methodist preacher. It was given to me by an elderly woman. I believe it was his sister, Emily, that we used to pick up for church all the time. She gave me his old German Bible. Big, big, heavy German Bible. I've always wanted to preach a sermon out of there. I think that would be I enjoy that so much. And maybe it would help somebody, who knows? Wouldn't do a lot of you a lot of good, maybe, because but it'd be kind of fun to try to follow along, wouldn't it? We'll see how it goes. And Jesus said unto me, or unto the centurion rather, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As thou hast believed. You see, he puts it right back on us. As you believe. If thou believest with all thine heart, then somehow God is going to see to it that the miracle comes forth. That the word, the spoken word, will overcome all things. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, you know, this is all happening right after the Sermon on the Mount. I did tell you that sermons bring forth power. And when they're believed, miracles begin to happen. That should be the case. And should be the case here. There's a lot of them happening, aren't there? Imagine right after the Sermon on the Mount, bang, bang, miracle, 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 miracle. We need more sermons, don't we? And when Jesus was come down into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Another miracle. And all of these are instantaneous or within an hour. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Isn't that a beautiful verse? He cast out those spirits with his word. We need to use the word, folks. I remember that I've told some of you this. Some of you may have not heard this. I think most of you have, but it's such a great story. Dear old Sister Whitman, elderly lady in the church in Clintonville, she's gone to a reward many years ago. I used to go and visit her when she was in her 70s, and she liked to paint pictures. She was an artist, and she wrote poetry for the Lord. Just loved the Lord all the time. Everything was her Savior, Jesus. Everything she did was all about Jesus, all the time. She didn't care about anything else. And I used to go and talk to her, and we'd get into some discussions, and sometimes people would give me some literature. I was a baby Christian, and she'd look at it and say, "Oh, Spirit's not pleased with that." And then she'd proceed to tell me why. You know, it's great to learn from somebody like that. I appreciated that. I was such a young baby Christian. And God gave me the ability to learn so much from these elderly people. Most of the people wouldn't talk to her. They thought she was kind of a nut, because all she could talk about is Jesus all the time. God, give us more of those kind of nuts, huh?
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful person. And she told me one time, she said I was, after she'd first become a Christian, she wanted to witness to everybody and tell them. She said, "This is too good. I can't contain this. People need to hear. I got to tell them. I got to be a witness." So she got a Bible, and she couldn't really afford exactly the right one she wanted. It was a big one, pretty good sized. So you couldn't miss it. I mean, she's carrying that thing everywhere. She'd go shopping, she had her Bible tucked under her arm. No matter where she went. And she was, I believe it was Milwaukee, there, when she lived there for a while. She had that Bible with her. And she got off a bus at a bus stop. And there was a rabid dog. This dog had rabies. It was foaming at the mouth, snarling, and coming right at her. And all she could think of was say, "Jesus, what should I do?" And she heard an audible voice speak to her saying, "Give him the word." And as soon as that dog lunged at her, she rammed that Bible right into the dog's mouth. The dog bit down on the Bible real hard, then let up and walked away. "Give him the word." She gave him the word. And that saved her from quite a problem. So, and rabid dogs will do that. All they want to do is bite. Once they've bitten something, then they're okay for a while. So it's an amazing thing. But she heard God tell her, "Give him the word." So that's exactly, she followed the instructions and she was all right. He works in such strange ways, doesn't he? All right. And it says in verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many who were possessed with devils. We got people like that running around today. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Think of that. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus made this whole world, but he had no street address of his own. Think of it. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. What's he saying? It'll get done, but this is more important right now. This is a work of eternal life. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. He got tired, just like us. Incidentally, when you pray for me that my sleep normalizes, because I'm going through this thing where I'm constantly, my mind is awake. I'm sleeping, but my mind doesn't shut down. So I have like one dream after another, and it's just not restful. And then this morning, I was laying there after I had gotten all cleaned up and everything. I'm just going to lay down a few minutes. Yeah. I went into the most peaceful sleep that I ever had, and it wasn't very long. My wife came and woke me up and said, here's your breakfast. I said, I didn't order any breakfast. But it was just for the first time in like 2.5 months, I was really sleeping, and I had to get up. Oh, no. I thought to myself, if I could get somebody to come over and sing to me and whatever it takes to put me to sleep or talk me into and get it back where I was, I'd give them $1,000 for it. It felt so good, you know? Now I suppose I'll have all kinds of volunteers here. But anyway, that's how I felt at the time. So, this tempest rose up. They were definitely in jeopardy. And his disciples came. His disciples came to him and woke him. They woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Is Jesus sleeping in the same boat with them? And they're concerned that they're going to perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And wouldn't that be enough to arrest your attention right there?
Amen.
To see the Savior stand up and speak to the wind and the sea and have it obey him instantly. It didn't just blow over, it stopped. As if you flipped a switch. I mean, that'd be so abrupt, wouldn't it? Winds maybe let up and they die down, and not this way, it stopped dead. Right when it's at its worst. So it is with our lives. It doesn't take God very long to fix things. We go through things. We go through struggles. We all do. They're all different. But would you let Jesus in to fix it? He said, always will. Otherwise, there's no remedy. Amen. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Now, this isn't the Gadarenes. This is a different place. This is another story involving one. This has two. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. How'd you like to live in that area? Property values would go down in a hurry, wouldn't they? These guys lived in the tombs, and they were, at night you could hear them howling, and they were fierce, full of devils. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time? They knew they were going to be tormented. They knew they were going to end up in a lake of fire. But if you come early to torment us? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. A large herd of pigs. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. There was your first deviled ham ever. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So here, the devils went into the swine. They ran down a very steep precipice, cliff, whatever, and fell into the sea and died. And there were about 2,000 of them as far as we know. It doesn't say in this particular account. But it's a lot, and put it this way, it was a large herd. You know, I find things rather interesting when you look behind the scenes of things that are done in our day. Does anybody remember hearing about a movie called The Exorcist? William Peter Blatty. William Peter Blatty was a producer of The Exorcist. But he had never produced the movie before. His real job was he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, or the U.S. government. And then produced this movie. Apparently, the government is in the movie business sometimes. You know, people would go to the theater and they would watch this movie about a priest, Catholic priest, trying to cast the devils out of this little child. There'd be all kinds of awful manifestations going on. Freaky, scary, weird stuff. But what's most discomforting is the soundtrack. The music that accompanied the events, all these creepy events. And I tracked that down. And I found out that to produce that soundtrack, they had to use people, you know, making these noises, combined with the slaughtering of pigs. They actually literally had pigs. They cut their throats and listened to them squeal and holler, and they mixed that with the voices. They remixed it. And I couldn't help but think, here you had a reversal going on. Jesus cast the devils out and they went into the swine. Now you got people sitting in movie theaters. And through this process of the soundtrack, the devils were coming out of the screen and going right into the people. And they said people ran out into the streets from the theater, vomiting, throwing themselves on the ground, sick. You see, it was a CIA experiment. Quite an amazing one, too. Oh, they've done that sort of a thing many times. Just after World War II, in a little city in Switzerland, there was a Swiss scientist who came out with a drug called lysergic acid diethylamide. It came to be known as LSD. He produced it for the U.S. government on an experimental basis of mind control. Suddenly in this little city, people started getting sick, hallucinating, having severe problems, seeing things. And it was just a bad situation. A number of them died. And it got tracked all the way back to how they had laced French bread with LSD in a bakery. And through their experimentation, had killed people, had destroyed lives, families, but they didn't care. They wanted to see how it would work before they brought it to the United States in the 1960s. And Dr. Timothy Leary popularized it. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Remember? Everything got psychedelic. Peter Mac's art. People walked around in tie-dyed shirts, hippies, using LSD in small, measured doses. And then Dr. Leary said, made a statement one time, he said, you see, they're not hallucinating. They're seeing another world that does exist. All the drug does is allow them to see it. It facilitates their minds to look at the other side and see these grotesque things. Talked to one boy, he said that he'd used it one time and he thought that there were giant purple crabs throwing lightning bolts at him. He's convinced, you know, and reacted accordingly, running down the street screaming. There are all kinds of examples of this. That was all our U.S. government. This hippie generation was a product of the U.S. government. If you listen to the music of the 60s and all the drugs and everything going on in there, that's what it's all about. When Don McLean wrote that song, American Pie, it's over 7 minutes long. In the middle of the song, he explained it all. He said, and there we are, there we were, all in one place, a generation lost in space, with no time to return again. So Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack Flash sat in a candlestick. His fire is the devil's only friend. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, we saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died. An entire generation was part of a sacrificial rite being offered on the altar of satanic music, drug music, psychedelic music. And we have that with us today. God, help us. Aren't you glad to be delivered?
Yes.
Our own government did things like this. It's all a part of the Illuminati agenda. All right. So the swine perished in the waters. And when they that kept them, fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Now you would think there'd be rejoicing. These two demoniacs were healed. They weren't devil-possessed anymore. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. They evicted the Holy Ghost. Operating in the spirit of Jesus Christ. They were so acclimated to fear that fear is all they knew. So filled with fear, they couldn't accept peace. So full of fear, they couldn't accept the Savior's love. And so he left them. Strange, isn't it? I don't want him to ever depart from where I am. And I don't want to ever depart from where he is. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's where I want to be. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word today. O Lord, thy word is greater than all things. Miracles come forth, O God, when we believe it. And I pray for this dear congregation, these that I love so much, and for my internet family out there that I love so much, and all those that will hear this subsequently. Oh God, bless these dear people. Help all of us to reach out with a whole heart, to receive what thou hast for us, and to just simply trust Thee, and in that trust to find the peace that passes all understanding. Let us never walk in fear, but in faith. Let Thy will be accomplished now, and let Thy people be blessed. Let Satan have no advantage over us, and give us complete victory over all things. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. If you'd like to pray before you leave, I urge you to do so. We have plenty of room up in the front here. It's such a good thing to do. You'll find a real touch from the Savior here. It's something we do by faith. We all need His touch. So let's move now into prayer as we reach out and touch the Lord. God bless you.